Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf Vav today. I'll take 106a, the top line. So Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Chalitza Mutar Kshera. A mistaken Chalitza is nevertheless kosher. And the Gemara is going to clarify what a mistaken Chalitza is. So the Braisa says, Ezuhi Chalitza Mutar, or the Gemara says, what's a, the Braisa was just those three words, Chalitza Mutar Kshera. So the Gemara says, what's a Chalitza Mutar? So Amrish Plakish, Bosha Omrim Lo Chalot, Bekaka Takonsa. It's where the Yavam is tricked. It sounds like they don't want to have you as a husband, and he thinks he does want to be the husband. So they say, you go through this ceremony, you take off the shoe, and that means like you're married to her. That's what they tell her. That's a Chalitza Mutad. So the Gemara thinks that that's the Pshat in the Braisa. So Amrili Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, Ani Shona, I learn in a different Braisa. If he intended the chalitza to be a chalitza and she didn't have that intention, or she had the intention, he didn't have the intention, chalitza psula, it's not a good chalitza. They both have to have, like we'd say, like a meeting of the minds. In other words, they both intend the shem mitzvah, this should be the shem chalitza. That's the b'raisa about amri chalitza kshera. And you're saying that it's a chalitza kshera when he thinks he's doing marriage and she knows that it's really a chalitza, but that's the price is not good that way. So Elos, rather Rabbi Yochanan says, in other words, if they trick him by saying, do chalitza on condition you get 200 zuz, which is a large sum of money, and then they don't give him the money. So that chalitza is kshera because the stipulation is not binding for reasons that we'll explain in a minute. And so that's what the Tana of the Braisa means, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So when it says Chalitza Mutar Kshera, means if we say you get 200 zuz. Let's look at the Rashi, the top line of Rashi, the right-hand corner. Even though she doesn't give him the money, Chalitza Kshera. Nevertheless, the Chalitza is still Kasher, like the Gemara explains in Masechet Ksubos, which we're going to have Neder and Daf Yomi in another, you know, around three months from now, this daf. The Chol Tanai, Ibnei Gad, Ibnei Reuven, Gamrinan. So we learn all of the dinim of Tanayim from Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. So Tanah Shefshar Lahatnot Al Yidei Shaliach Shasa Moshe. In other words, it has to be a Tanai. He says Tanah Shefshar La'asot Al Yidei Shaliach. In other words, if it's Tanai, but it's the action could be done with a shliach. So if the underlying action could be done with a shliach, like over there with Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, the stipulation was that if they, you know, they fight in the war, then they get the land and they have a yard date. So Yoshua is going to be the one to carry it out. So that's the shlichus. The Chol Tanai Glov Shalas Sori De Shliach. Any Tanai that can't be done with the shliach, going chalitza, by chalitza ain't tanaim mawilbab, zeu tamo shadavar. So Rashi is giving us a hesbir that the Gemara doesn't give it. In other words, he's saying that since chalitza and yibum cannot be done with the shliach, yibum obviously not with the shliach, and chalitza can also not be done with the shliach, we'll explain why in a minute. So therefore, any stipulation that's made goes by the wayside. In other words, in order for a stipulation to be binding, the nature of the arrangement has to be something that's susceptible to shlichus. Like Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. If it's not susceptible to Shlichus, so the Tanai is a nullity. The Tanai is a nullity. So here where they said, you know, do Chalitza and you'll get 200 Zuz, so we can't do it with Shlichus, so the Tanai falls by the wayside. One second, then I'll pause in just 1 second, okay? Now, the question, so he brings down here in the art scroll, I'm sorry that Rafi's down here, he asked me the other day. So if you look in the art scroll, it's in footnote 5. So the Gemara, he said that the Rishonim ask, why is it that Chalitza is not susceptible to Shlichus? In other words, I could do marriage with Shlichus, I do Din with Shlichus, why can I do Chalitza with Shlichus? So he says, the Rush says, because the Pasuk, the Chalitza says, B'shalfan alo me'al raglo, that she'll take the shoe off of his foot. He says, but that it has to be only the Yavam's foot, not that of, in other words, not that of a shliach. In other words, that she has to take the shoe off the foot. So maybe it has to be his foot for shoe and not the shliach. Then he quotes, that's from the Rush. Then he quotes from the Ma'arach or Zarua, says, since Chalitza is in place of Yibam, Yibam obviously can't be B'dam Shlichus, because What? Say Gemara? Right. So since Yibam can't be done with Shlichus, because you have to have intimate relations with her, so too Chalitza can't be done with Shlichus. Anyway, so the bottom line is you can't have a Tanai by Chalitza. Okay, what's the question coming to it? No. In other words, but if they come and fight, then you're going to give them the land. You give them the land. That's the Shlichus. Okay. Any other questions come to us? We're in Kufav and Aleph 106a, around 10 lines down from the top. Okay. So now back in the Gemara. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan's klal is that if you say, I'm an Ashton Nechaman Hemzuz, that's the Chalitza Mutad. So Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a Brisa that supports this. It says, Chalitza Mutad Kshera. The Brisa says that a Chalitza Mutad is Kshera, which is the same as the earlier Brisa. But then this Brisa says, Ezui Chalitza Mutad. So the Brisa spells out for us, what's a mistake in Chalitza? Well, Sha'omrim, Chalotzla, Manachim, Lechaman Hemzuz. Any situation where they say do chalitza on condition you get 200 zuz, which is obviously a lot of money. That's the amount of the ksuba, so it's a large sum of money. Then the Brisa says umasa bishatat. It was an incident with one woman. Shenaflof neyabam shein hagunla. She fell. In other words, the shidduch was so to speak. In other words, she was a widow. Her husband died, and the yabam was not appropriate for her. So it could be maybe she was 15 and he was 75. That could be something like that. Or it could be that, you know, there's some physical deformity or something like that. So he says, Va'amrulo, they said to the man, do the chalitza on condition to get 200 zuz, which was a trick. He says, Ubama, son of name Rabbi Chia, Behashira. And the incident came before Rabbi Chia, and he was matched to her, meaning he said that it was a good chalitza. You know, this incident with the mindset, let me just pause 1 second. So Reb Chia, Reb Oshia were Masada the Brises, but all right, it looks like this part of the Brisa. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far?
If the condition is so good, then how are we doing this much time zus? I'm not following.
Wait, say again, I can't hear you so clearly. Repeat once again, slowly and loudly.
You said you can't do it with the condition. You can't do chalitza.
Right. In other words, if I make the chalitza and I say subject to a stipulation, so you take your pen out, you cross off the stipulation, and then the chalitza is good. It was like a contract.
So if you don't pay up the matai and zuz, you're good.
You're good, right. That's the way it goes. All right. Now, all right, let me just do a little bit from the Al-Hadaf. You know, let me cover some ground, then I'll do a little bit from the Al-Hadaf, okay? So now let's see back in the Gemara. All right, so around, you know, 15 lines down on Kuf Bav Amud Aleph. So Ha'huda Ad Tamid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. There was a woman that came before in Yibama, came before Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So he's the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Amarla, he said to her, Biti Amodi. So Rashi has two Lashonos, but the first Lashon Rashi is like, you know, Amodi means like prepare for Yibam. You know, go forward with Yibam. Amarle, Ima, so her mother, and then the box says spell Aleph Mem Hey Ima. Her mother said to him, Yeshivata Zui Amidata. She'd be better off sitting. In other words, I don't think this is a good Shidduch. I think she's better off not going forward with it. So Amarle, Yadatle, so he says, do you know something about the Yabam? They go, what's the problem? So Amarle, in, I do know. Mamonahu Dechazala, he's just interested in money. He wants to eat the money. He just wants the money from the whole deal. So Amar Lo Lo Nichala. So now he turns to the Yavama. He says, "Are you not happy? You know, going forward with this?" Amar Le Lo. She says, "Absolutely not." So then he turns to the Yavam. He says, "Amar Le Kolotzla Uvachacha Takonsa." So he says, "Now again, this is Rabbi Bar Abba. If Bar Abba is a twist on it." He says, do the chalitza, and in such a fashion, you'll be able to marry her, which we said before, it doesn't work. But that's what he said to him. He says, Labata the chalitza, then after he did the chalitza, Amarle, he said to the Yavam, Hashtam inach ifsala, chalosla chalitza ma'alitza, kiechit ishtari la'alma. So he said, Ezra, that chalitza was not a good chalitza, he says to him. But as a result of that chalitza, which was the fact that chalitza, you cannot go forward and do Yibam anymore. That's what he's saying. In other words, that chalitza was effective to block you from doing Yibam, but not effective to permit her to anybody or anything like that. So as long as you're not getting her now, why don't you do a chalitza for her and, you know, permit her, you know, to the whole world? Any questions? This chalitza, it's ineffective, you know, to permit her, but it, according to Rabbi Chibraba, it's like, you know, it's like when you give a get, you know, like you give a get, so it like blocks off the yibum and certain accidents you do. So that's what he's saying.
All right. Like,
what?
You like.
That right, that's correct. Okay. Well, the you know, I don't know, for the sake of Shalom, I guess he felt that it was necessary. All right, let's take it further in the Gemara. Now, Bachaluah de Rapapa, so the daughter of the father-in-law, which means his sister-in-law, and it was Rapapa's sister-in-law, Nafal of the Yavam Shein Hadunah. She fell before Yavam, which wasn't appropriate for her. It might be age, might be, you know, physical deformity or something like that, but it wasn't something that they wanted to go forward with the Shidduch. He says, after the coming to Abaye, so the Yavam came before Abaye, Amarle Chalotla Lukacha Takonsa. So Abaye seems to borrow a page from Rav Chiyabraba. He says, do the Chalitza, and through doing the Chalitza, you'll be able to marry her. He says, Amarle Rapapa. So Rapapa says to Abaye, you remember Rapapa, that's his sister-in-law, is the Yavama. So Amarle Rapapa, Osafa Lamar Lahadamar Rav Yochanan, don't you hold what Rav Yochanan said above. Now, Rav Yochanan said above that that Adchi Kavnu Shneim. In other words, for the other police to be good, they both have to be on the same page. So the Ella Hefi Emalei. So what should I say? What do you suggest? In other words, you want her to be free. I want her to be free. How should we handle this? So Amarle Chalotzla Almanat Shitin Lecham Matayim Zuz. So say to him, do Chalitza on condition that you'll get 200 zuz. That's what I suggest. So he does that. The Bathur the Chalotzla, and then after he did the Chalitza, Amarla Zil Havle. He says. So then he said to the Yavama, give him the money. In other words, this is Abaye was handling the cedar of the Chalitza. So Rav Papa suggests that he tell the Yavam, do Chalitza on condition to get 200 zuz. So he tells the Yavama to say that. And then they go through the Chalitza. And then he, Abaye, tells the Yavama to give him the 200 zuz. So Amarle, so this is, where is the base? So Amarle Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, Mishata Nibacha Abdalay. She could say, I was just joking with you. He says, Milo Tanya, didn't we learn the Braisa? Let's say a person's he's escaping from prison and he comes to like a river and there's a ferry over there. He says, take a dinar, which is a sum of money much larger than you would normally give the ferryman, and put me over the river. So notwithstanding that he said like a large sum of money, anyway, it's like, let's say it's a $1 trip. He says, I'll give you $100, take me across the river. So the Gemara says that he could say, Mishata Nibacha. I was just joking with you. Says, and the person is only entitled to his sakar, like his reasonable wages. Alma, Amarle Mishata Nibacha. So we see that he could say that I'm joking with you. Akanami Mishata Nibacha. So too, here he could say, I was joking with you. So it's interesting. The Gemara here is coming with a little bit of a different hesber. So originally we said that stipulation wasn't binding, because it's not subject to shlichus, and therefore no tanai is binding. Here, he comes into a different svara to say that the woman could say, I was just joking with you. 1 minute. So the Gemara says, Amarle, so Abaye says, Rapapa, Avuchecha, where's your father? He says, Amarle, my father's in the city. He says, Imachecha, where's your mother? He says, Amarle, he says, also in the city. So Yaibuhu, Eine Yushchiva, and he looked at the, like he thought about them and they died. So it means like this, that the way they had it in art school was Abaye was an orphan, and he saw that Rav Papa was very sharp on this topic. So he was thinking, why is Rav Papa so sharp? Because he's got parents taking care of all his problems and things like that. So not that they were like deserving of death per se, anything like that, but like he thought about it, and somehow his thinking about it was the cheshbon to come in Shemayim, and as a result of that, they both passed away. I don't know if it's Ayin Hara because he didn't even look at them. It does say here, what does it say? It says, Yahibuhu Eine. Let's see what the article says on this. 1 second, and then I'll pause in 1 second.
He set his gaze upon Rav Papa's parents and they died.
Yeah. Okay. 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. So, yeah. Yeah. So he says like this. Yeah. So I thought I said something else here. He says in footnote 24 that a bias in the Rapapa's sharpness is due to the fact that he had parents living in close proximity provided for his needs. And since his needs were tended to by his parents, he could spend time becoming well-versed in the finer points of Torah. And then before he was able to reject Tobiah's instructions. Anyway, about Lurkland, Tobiah did not have any parents because his father died and when his mother died. All right. Oh, here, footnote 25. Abayi did not cast his gaze upon Rapapa's parents for the purpose of exacting punishment from them, for indeed neither they nor Rapapa were deserving of punishment. Rather, by contemplating Rapapa's good fortune and having the support of his nearby parents, Abayi inadvertently caused God to examine their deeds. They were found undeserving, thus perished. Let's see how it goes, Yaves. I don't know, but that's what it's a little different. Like Ayin Hara, well, there's different ways to understand Ayin Hara, but the way Ayin Hara is like a person flaunts something and it causes pain to people. That's the way Mechtam Eliyahu understands it. So that's Ayin Hara. Here, he was just like, Rapapa was just, you know, sharp in the learning. And then somehow, though, from Abayi contemplating the whole thing, it causes din in Shemayim. All right, now, let me just look at one more thing and then that will be it. Now, one second. One second. All right. Okay, so we're gonna work it now. Who's got questions, comments, lessons, if you did? Everybody good?
No.
What's up, Aaron Moshe?
No, we're just going to say the Rebbe of Yoinesen writes in the one of his Svarim, I forget if it's Tiferes Yoinesen or one of the other Svarim, that Anayin Hara is mamish like this, like the poison from the snake. It goes out. The poison from a snake. It goes out like the poison from a snake. Right? Yeah. In the Alta Haim, people used to wear right the bendel or right the fadum getting in the Eitz Hara.
A red band?
Yeah.
A red band. Okay. All right. Let me go further. Okay. All right. We're in Kuf of an Aleph. Let me go further. Now, all right. We're at the two dots on Kuf of an Aleph around 20 lines from the bottom. Okay. Tan Rabbanan Chalitza Mutar Kasherah. The Braisa says, if it's a mistaken Chalitza, it's Kasher. And that we learned that's where he says, you know, she says, I'll give you money. Yet Mutar Pasol. If it's a mistaken get, that would be pasul. We'll explain. Chalitza mu'usei psula. Now mu'usei means they're forced, you know, like so that's psula. Get mu'usei kasher. Get mu'usei kasher. So the Gemara says that's the end of the braisa. So the Gemara says heichidami with the mu'us. So the mutate we discussed. That's where I say I'm going to give you money for it. So we said by chalitza it's good, but by get it's not good. Then he says it means when it's not good by get, it means if you don't fulfill it tonight, it means. You could have it tonight by get, but let's look at the Rashi. Get muta pasol im ena mekayma tonight if Charlie get a day shliach. In other words, if you don't fulfill the condition, because again you could have shlichus. He says shaomer l'shnayim kifu to get l'ishti yareilu yichtu b'yinu. If I say to people, I want you to write a get and deliver it to my wife, then they'll do it. They should do it. Hilchach dami the tonight b'nei God umahani beitna. So a stipulation is in full force and effect by get. But the Gemara says, "Heichidami." What's the case of Mu'usa, forced? So Ida Amar Rotsa Ani. If he says, at the end of the day, I'm willing to do this, Afidu Chalitza Nami. Then even Chalitza would. We said Chalitza Mu'usa is Pesula, but even Chalitza would be good if he says Rotsa Ani. The Lo Amar Rotsa Ani. He says, I don't want this. Get Nami Lo. Also, the get wouldn't be good. So Hachi Kamar Chalitza Mutat Yolam Kasher. If it's mistaken Chalitza, that's always Kasher. That's with the money. We get Mutah, the Olam Pasul. Get Mutah is always Pasul if you don't fulfill it. It's nine. Chalitza Mu'useh, beget Mu'useh. Now the Gemara is like sort of like touching in words in the Braisa, Zin and Kasher, Zin and Pasul. So sometimes it's Kasher when it's four, sometimes it's not. Hadamar Rotsa Ani, Hadlomar Rotsa Ani. If the person says at the end of the day, this is what I want, even though the pressure is being exerted upon him, then it's Kasher. But if he doesn't say Rotsa Ani, then it's not Kasher. So the Gemara says, the Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Yagrivo To, that he should offer his korban in the base of Mikdash. We see that we force a person to bring the korban. I think it means like a korban chatak. He says, Yechol ba'al korcho. I might think it's against his will. Tamalom le'ritzono. So he says, Yakrivo tel. And with Yakrivo tel, we're going to force him to bring it, but it has to be ritzono for his will. So haketzad, kofin oto ad shemo tzera'ani. So we force him until he says, Rosa'ani. He says, V'chein atamotze b'gite nashim. And similarly, by get, you force him until he says Rotsa'ani. So the idea is, and the Rambam spells this out in Mishnah Torah, he says that in deep down inside, the person's Ratzon is to do the Ratzon Hashem. So deep down inside, he wants to comply with the directions of Beis Din and things like that, and to bring the Korban. So we're like, you know, pressing him to bring it, and then following he says Rotsa'ani, but Rotsa'ani is really, you know, an expression of what deep down, like you'd say, like the Pintel Yid really feels. Let me do a few more lines and I'll pause and we'll speak. So I'm a Rav Huna. So Rava, quotes Rav Skor in the name of Rav Huna, Choltzin, Afal Pi She'en Makirin. We do Chalitza, even though we don't know that he's really the Yavam. In other words, two people come before the Beis Din, and we don't know who they are, but he says, I'm the Yavam, but we don't have we're not able to independently verify that, but we can still go through the ceremony with them. He says, Mamanin af pishay makirin. And if then a man shows up with a young girl, and she says, I want to do Mian, so we know, even though we don't know who or what or whatever, we'll go through the Mian. Lefichach, so as a result of that, since the Beis Din doesn't verify the identity of the parties, he says, Ein kofin get chalitza elon ke makirin. So if the Edim are called upon to sign a get chalitza, which would be the evidence he needs, let's say, to remarry or she needs to marry, right? So then we would have to verify at that point in time, you know, is this the woman who appears to you and who is she? Mihi mahi. Then kofin get mion. And we don't write a get mion, elam ke makirin. The chashin, the beit in tone. We're afraid that, like, the next Beis Din won't know who's who and what's up, and like a fraud will be perpetrated. So we have to verify before we write such a shtar. In other words, so to do the ceremony, fine. But we have to verify the parties before we write the shtar, because otherwise the person will take the shtar to another Beis Din, you know, to prove that either she can remarry, or maybe to prove, let's say, this young girl, let's say, if her father dies and she inherits a Yerusha, you know, so is it really the husband's, or is she not in the parsha anymore because she did mian? So we have to clarify. Now, but Rabba Didei Amar, but Rabba Didei Omer, Rabba quoted the halacha on the name of Rav Skor, the name of Rav Huna. The Rabba himself says, Ein choltzin elam ke makirin. We don't even go through the ceremony until we identify who everybody is. Ein mamanin elam ke makirin. We don't do the mian unless we recognize who everybody is. Leficha, so as a result of Rabba's protocol, so once the Edom see it, they can write up the get and sign it, because even if they don't know, but they can rely on the Beis Din knew everything. But kofin get me enough pishay makirin below chayshin lebeit and toin. We're not concerned for beit and toin. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? So it sounds like by which, by chalitza or by which? It doesn't sound like from this Gemara that is the case. It doesn't sound like the case at all. It doesn't sound that way from here. All right. Now, Now there's an Al Hadaf here. I'll just do a little bit of this. We said that the Chalitza Psula Achi Tavna Shneim Ke'echa, they both have to be on the same page with the Kavana. So he says the commentaries consider what type of Kavana is required. He says that, in other words, they have to have the same Kavana. What Kavana is that? So the Ashrish Yaakov, in first, in the words of Rashi, they must have Kavanas Mitzvah, intent to fulfill the Mitzvah Chalitza. Just as one who listens to shofar in Rosh Hashanah does not fulfill the Mitzvah if he lacks Kavana, so too, if one performs the Asa Chalitza without intending to fulfill the Mitzvah, he does not fulfill the Mitzvah. Rashi appears to be of the opinion that a Chalitza which is performed only for the sake by releasing the Yavama and not for the sake of the mitzvah is not effective. It's not enough to have in mind to release her. I have to have in mind to do the mitzvah. He says, apparently Chalitza serves to release the Yavama from her Zika only by the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Chalitza. He says, the Ramban, the Rashban, the Ritva, indicate that one performs Chalitza in the forbidden matter so that he does not fulfill the mitzvah due to the principle of mitzvah Baba Veira, the Chalitza is ineffective. He says, thus, these Rishonim indicate that they agree with Rashi's opinion that Chalitza effectively releases the Yavama from Rizika only as a result of fulfilling the mitzvah. The Chacham Tzvi maintains that the required Kavanah for Chalitza is Kavanah Kinyan, awareness of the act releases the Yavama from Rizika. So he says that he holds that Chalitza does not require Kavanah's mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah such as Lulav or Shofar, which the Torah obligates one to perform. Those of Chalitza were given merely as a means of releasing a Yavama from the Yavam when necessary, akin to laws of divorce, which were given only as the means of releasing a married woman from her husband when there's a need to do so. So the Chacham Tzvi says it's just enough to have Kavanah, like Kavanah Kinyan, in other words, that she's, you know, acquiring herself as a result of this. But it's a little tricky. All right, let me go further in the Gemara. So the way that those other Rishonim seem to be learning, I would say two things, that one, that Chalitza is a mitzvah, and Mamela, if you don't have Kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. But also, and I think he develops this later on, like part of Chalitza, it's like releasing like the soul of the Niftar from like the woman or something like that. So in order for it to work, you have to have Kavanah's mitzvah. That's what I assume is with this. Okay, now, all right, let's go further in the Gemara. Okay, everybody, turn the page. Go further in the page. Okay, now, Manitin. Last mission in the parak. Everybody with me? Okay, so Manitin, you know what? I hate to borrow you, Yosef. Kumish, thank you so much. Okay, so Manitin. Mitzvah Chalitza, Bahu, Bivim to the Beitin. So the Mitzvah Chalitza is that he and his Yavama, thank you, come to the Bezdin. He says, Behein Masilo Eitzaho Genetlo. So part of the Mitzvah is the Bezdin counsels Yavama. We had this earlier in our Masechta, and we had it more than once. And this is in the Chumash on page 1064. Okay, so he says here, "Mitzvah Chalitza Bahu Bivim Tel Beitin V'Hein Masilo Eitzal Genetlo." In other words, let's say, you know, he's 70, she's 15. You know, they talk of, you know, and we don't think it's good shidduch. Shenemar v'karulo zikni ro v'dibru elav. In other words, that the Ziknei Yiro will summon him and talk to him. And it was like, hey, say a poor veritor, like say a few words to him. Now, v'hi omeret, me'ein yavami la'akim l'chiv shem b'Yisrael, lo abayavni. So here, and if you look in the Chumash, so she has her statement in Pasuk Zion. So he says, so he goes to the Zikanim and says, me'ein yavami, my Yavam doesn't want to, you know, establish his brother's house in Israel. He doesn't want to be miyabi me. Then he says, I don't want her. Now it has to be Lashon Kodesh. You know, there's a true for Moshe where he talks about the different pronunciations of Hebrew. And he says, like, in other words, the Mishnah Masechet Sota coming up in Daf Yomi in about a year says that there are certain things you could do in any language, like Tefillah Nemer, B'chol Lashon. And other things, the dafka have to be in Lashon Kodesh. Have to be in Lashon Kodesh. So here the Tana Mishnah says that this has to be in Lashon Kodesh. So I think this is the true Moshe where he, and I think Lerner mentioned this, like where Moshe says that there are like so many different pronunciations of Hebrew, but we never see that, you know, that one pronunciation isn't good, another is good. In other words, he wants to justify, you know, Moshe the true wants to say that if there's a pronunciation which a group of clients will use, it's adequate to satisfy the needs. In other words, whatever the mitzvah is. So he says here, and then the Yavam comes, Yuvim To. Yeah, the Yavam comes and presences Kenim. Yavama comes. Yeah, I'm sorry, the Yavama comes. So the Yavama comes to the presence of Kenim. She takes the shoe off his foot. And she skits, doesn't mean in her face, in his face. She spits in his presence. Then the Tana Mishnah says, Ro kanir le dayanim, that the spittle must be apparent to the dayanim. And the Gemara is going to say, the dayanim have to see the spittle leave her mouth. He says, va'anta va'amra, then she'll raise her voice and say, kacha ye'asela isha shalivna beit achiv. That's what should be done to the man who doesn't want to build up his brother's household. Ad kana yumakrim. So up until this point, in other words, like the Beis Din would be dictating the words, and that's the end of the script. But then the Mishnah says, Ushik Rabbi Horkanas Tachar Eilab Kfar Eitam, when Rabbi Horkanas was doing the Sidur Chalitza underneath the oak tree in Kfar Eitam, the Gemara Kula Parsha, he didn't stop there. So he read last Pasuk, the Nekrash Bobi Spelbe Kulatsanal. In other words, he read that Pasuk also to the Yavama. In other words, Kacha Yisalayish, the Nekrash Bobi Kulatsanal, Hukskul Yogomrim Kula Parsha. He so then became established to say the whole Parsha. Then the Gemara says that last pasuk is a mitzvah on the dayanim to say who are present at the chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mitzvah kol omdim sham lamar chalitza na'al. Says everyone who's there says chalitza na'al, and we're very grateful to Daniel. He sent me that email today with the video of the chalitza in Iran. All right, but everything always turns about Iran. Anyway, okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? Everybody good? Okay.
Everybody,
they all said Chalitza Na'al. I listened to it. Okay, now, three lines from the bottom. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mitzvah Chalitza, Korah, B'Korei. So the Mitzvah Chalitza is, first she recites Psukim, Korah, she receives. So she says, Me'in, if I mean like him, she didn't say, Lo'ba Yadmi. Then the korei, then he says the pasuk, or he repeats it, local pasuk lekata. Then the choletzet, then she takes the shoe off his foot. Then the rokeka, and then she spits. Then the korah, and then she recites the final pasuk, kacha yeseli shulim b'berachiv. So the Gemara says, my kamash malam matnitani. What is Rabbi Yudas Amara? So all the Amaraim knew all the Mishnah by heart. So what is he teaching me more than what I know in the Mishnah? So he says, ha kamash malam, mitzvah hachi, what Rabbi Yehuda was teaching is that's the mitzvah, but the apich leit lamba. But if they flip out the order, nisht gefer lak, as we say in Yiddish. It says, Tani nami hachi, we learn a brisa that supports this. The brisa says, bein shittim chalitza the rekika, whether you did the chalitza before the rekika, which is normally the way it would be done, bein shittim rekika la chalitza, or you did the rekika before the chalitza, masha sasui. It's a done deal, and you're yotze. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts to me so far?
Yeah. In the What's thing up? That Daniel sent, she spit on the floor. Is she not That's supposed correct. To?
Right.
What, not why did
place. They? Okay. Just we'll get to it. Okay. Be patient. Wait another 20 lines, and then we'll be good. Okay. Now, so one.
We learned in the morning we had the class, and I think they said that halacha if she does not speak. It's still kosher. So why is it that now we're making it a chiyuv for the tongue to speak? See the spit leave the mouth. It is not here anyway.
Yeah. So we learned this. Yeah. It's first. It's not so pashut. Remember, we according to I think remember we there was machlok between Reb Leizer and Reb Akiva. So it's not so.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But the thing is, but she should do it, and we where everything goes. Okay. Now. Okay. Let's see back on the Gemara now. Let me just check about this halakha one second. We had it the other day. So the Gemara says, one second, let me just... Right. So the halakha follows Rabbi Akiva, if she's chalt to the car but lo rakika, that's the chalitza kshera, but yet it. But even Rabbi Akiva was saying, all right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're on the second one line. Amar Abaye, Haiman Demakri Get Chalitza. Now, Get Chalitza is like the script. In other words, the person in the Beis Din who's reading the Sukkim to the woman, Lo Likri Ladida, Lo Lechuda, Hi Abaye Mi Lechuda. In other words, he shouldn't break it up. In other words, you want to say, Lo Abaye Mi. So it's a little bit like under the chuppah, you know, Hare, you know, that thing. So you shouldn't read Lo. And then abayami, the mashma abayami, because then it sounds like, in other words, she says, The whole sentence reads, "Me'ein yivami lakim l'shalchiv shem b'Yisrael lo avayami." So if I break it up, lo, pause, it sounds like Rashi is going to say later on that he doesn't refuse to establish his name b'Yisrael. In other words, "Me'ein yivami lakim shem b'Yisrael lo." In other words, he's not refusing that, and avayami, and he does want to be me'avayami. So he says here, so he says, "Lo likri l'dida lo l'chura b'avayami l'chura d'mashma avayami." That sounds like Yavam wants to do it. Ela lo avayami. She's lo avayami. So there's machloket among the mefarshim. Some say that all three words she should say in one breath, lo avayami, and some say that the main thing is even is the two words have to be together, which is lo ava. You know, is maybe just those two together have to go together. Okay, now lo likri l'diday, and then when you're reading the pasuk for the man, lo l'chura. He says, "Lo likri l'diday, lo l'chura chafasi l'chura." In other words, you shouldn't say "lo chafasi l'chata." Don't say "lo" and then "chafasi l'chata." The mashma "chafasi l'chata." It sounds like he wants to take her. Ella lo chafasi l'chata. It should be no. Yeah. They're all together, right? And again, so now Rava Amar, Rava says, and the Bach changes the gears somewhat, but Rava Amar avsuki miltahi, avsuki miltalei lamba. He says, "Stishke ferlak." You know, people break in a sentence, it doesn't make a difference. Rav Ashi, Ashchid Rav Kahana, the common style, Makri La, Lo Ava Yavni. So Rav Ashi encountered Rav Kahana, who was growing to great pains to see that the Yavam said all three words in one breath. He says, Lo Ava Yavni, the Yavama said Lo Ava Yavni. He says, Amarle, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, Lo Sabali Mar Lahadu Rabba. Don't you hold from what Rabbi said that at the end of the day, it doesn't make so much of a difference. Amar lein, moda Rabbah b'lo avayami. So he says the Rabbah agrees by lo avayami. In other words, Rabbah's case was where, about lo chafatzi l'kachta. So the man only says three words, lo chafatzi l'kachta. So there, Rava says, if you break it up and say lo and chafas lakachta, it's not so terrible because we understand it all goes together. But by the woman, she says, me'ein yivami lakim shem b'Yisrael, lo. So then I can understand that the lo is going on the first clause and I could really misunderstand it. But Rava only says it doesn't matter so much. In his sentence, he says, the first sentence is still important. He says, Now, I'm a rabbi, Haiman the Katav Gita the Chalitzato, Lichtov Hachi. So, if a person is writing up a get that's going to have a recitation that the Chalitz took place, he should write as follows. Akri Nua Ledida, in other words, it's a recitation of what the Bezdin did. You should say, Akri Nua Ledida, you know, we read for her, Min Me'en Yavami Arabayami. So, that's that first pasuk. Va'akrinu l'diday, and we read for him min lo ad l'kachto. Va'akrinu l'dida min kacha ad v'ad chalutzanal. Now here what's involved is that one second. So all right. So now Mar Zutra Mistarte Bikati Lakula Parsha. See, the thing is like this, that the Gemara learns that if you write more than four words in a pasuk, you have to do sirta, like in size in the document. We don't do this today, but the Gemara learns that if I'm writing more than four words in a pasuk, that four consecutive words in a pasuk, I have to do sirta. So to avoid the obligation to do sirta, we're going to just do two words. So we're not going to write the whole pasuk. We're going to just say, in other words, the recitation was Akrinu Ledida. We read for her Min Me'ein Yavami, two words. Ad Avayami. In other words, we're going to like do less than three words in one thing. Akrinu Ledida Min Lo Ad Lekachta. And then Kacha Ad Chalasanal. So the Gemara says, Marzutra Masarte Bekati of Lekula Parsha. Marzutra would do Sirtut and write down all the words that were said. Makif Lo Mar Bar Idi, Balomi Tanli Katev. He says, but Moni Tami Katev, this is another halacha that Gemara learns, that you're not allowed to write psukim, in other words, you have to write down the whole Sefer Torah. You shouldn't write down a pasuk by itself. So how could you write it the whole parsha down? The Hilchata Kivati de Marzutra. The halacha follows the way Marzutra said to do it, which was that Marzutra did sir to it and wrote down the whole parsha. So Amar Abaye, Rakka, now we're back to the spittle. So this is your question here, Fern. Okay. So Amar Abaye, Rakka, Uklatau Haruach, Loastab, Loklum. Let's say they're doing it outside. She spits, and then the wind blows the spittle away. So he says, I did nothing. He says, my taima, your kabafanav ba'inan buleka. In other words, she has to spit in, not in his face, but in his presence, but it means it has to get like into the zone in front of his face. So if she spits and then it blows it away, so it never got to where it needed to go. Hilkach, hu aruch b'hi gotza. If he's a tall man, he, the gavam, is 6 feet tall. She's like 4 feet tall. Kolatawa ruach ika b'fanav. So even if the wind blows it away, it's still b'fanav. In other words, it comes out of her mouth. Let's say they're facing each other. So she's short. She's short. He's a giant. So she spits. So even though the wind blows it away, but it was still b'fanav when it left her mouth. He says, he arucha, but if she's 6 feet tall, who goats, and he's 4 feet tall, the head is obviously at the top of the body. So it has to get to where his face is. So at that point, the spittle is all blown away. So that wouldn't be good. So that's the key. So if she's tall and he's short and then the wind blows it away, you got a problem. Okay, now, Amar Rava. Rava says, Achla Tuma Barakta. Let's say she swallowed garlic and then spat out. Achla Gargishta Barakta. She swallowed clay and then she spits out. Lowest tabalo klum. That's nothing. Why? My taima, your kami atzma ba'ina b'leka. So it has to be a free volitional act of rikika. And here we don't have a free volitional act of rikika. In other words, she's got to plak. You know, it's got to be, it can't be like I'm ready to like throw everything out. It's got to be like I freely decide to do it. But it has to be her, not only her saliva, but she's doing it of her own free volitional act, not like she's like gagging to spit out. You know what I mean? So now, this is Va'amar Rava, Srichi Dayani, Lemesi Roka, Kinafik Mikumati Yavama, the Thibli Neaz Kinibiarka. The Dayanim have to see the spittle exit her mouth. They have to see that. Okay? Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
So why did they used to say spit in a shoe? You're not spitting in a shoe.
That's true.
You never heard that expression?
I don't know. Who said spitting in a shoe?
You do yibum or you spit in the shoe. But you're not. You're removing a shoe and you're spitting on the ground.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Now, okay. Now, the first one lying downstairs. The Karash will be Shal Beit Chalitanal. So his name will be called among the Jewish people Beit Chalitanal. So mitzvah b'dayanim v'lo b'tamidim. So that's the mission. The mission says that mitzvah is no. Yeah, wait. Mitzvah is right. So the mishnah said it's a mitzvah b'dayanim and not a mitzvah b'tamidim. And then Rabbi Yehuda says it's a mitzvah on everybody who's there. So Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Tamachari Yoshin with name Rabbi Tarfon. Uvata Yivama Lachlotz. Once we were sitting for Rabbi Tarfon and Yivama came into Chalitza, but Amar Lanu, he Rabbi Tarfon said to all of us, Anu kulchem chalitzanal, chalitzanal, chalitzanal. All of you say chalitzanal 3 times, and so that fits in with his shita. It says mitzvah kol ha'omdim sham lamar chalitzanal. Hadrulach mitzvah chalitza yashir koach. Look at this. You finish another parak in Masechet Yevamot, and there's less than 2 weeks. What day is the week is today? Today is Tuesday. The team is when? So it's 2 weeks from two weeks and 2 days to 16 days from now is the Siyam. All right, it feels the Sefta feels more comfortable now. Okay, now let's do a few lines in the next Mishnah, and then I think we're going to call it a day. Okay, let's all focus. The next Mishnah. What?
For the night.
All right, the next Mishnah. Now, Beit Shammai Omrim, Eimanin El Aruso. Beit Shammai says Mion is only when you're in a Rusa, not when you're in a Sua. Now, Mion, we've discussed before, it means not that the father married her off. If the father marries her off, she's married on Dereisa level. It means the father was out of the loop. Either the father's dead, or the other thing I mentioned to you, the Gemara has, about Yitom V'Chayi Ha'av, an orphan during the lifetime of the father. If the father married her off, and then as the first marriage ended in divorce or death, so not with Yibam. So then she goes back to the father's house, but now the father used up his right to marry her off, but the chamim were mitakein that the mother and or the brothers can marry her off. And if the mother and or the father's the father can marry her off, the father's not in the picture, he's not alive. So either one of those cases, so then she has the right to do miyun, before she becomes a gedola. So according to Beit Shammai, miyun only works if she's an arusa. He says, but once she's in a suwa, then you can't do miyun. He says, that's according to Beit Shammai. Ubin Hillel Omrim, Arusa and Nesua. Beit Hillel says, whether she's an Arusa or Nesua, it works. So it means, like, we're just getting into this, but it means that according to Beit Shammai, in other words, I can't have a situation where he had relations with her, and then, a year later, she revokes the marriage, and so my Be'ila was like a Be'ila Znus. That's basically what's coming out. Okay, now, Beit Shammai Omrim, so we'll have to see as we get into the Gemara. So he says, Beit Shammai Omrim, the Baal Lo B'Yavam. Beit Shammai says you can only do Miyun with a husband, but you can't do Miyun with a Yava, meaning if the husband died and now she's up to a Yibam situation, according to Beit Shammai, she can no longer do Miyun and say, I'm out of here. She can't do that anymore. No, in other words, they didn't do Yibam yet and didn't do anything yet. In other words, the husband died, but now she wants out. So it's like too bad, so sad. You should have done it when he was alive. He says, Beit Hillel says, no, you can do it with a husband or you can do it with the Yavam, you're fine. Beit Shammai says, Miyun has to be executed in the presence of the husband. Beit Hillel says it could be either way. Beit Shammai says, Miyun can only be done in the presence of Bezdin. Beit Hillel says either way. A woman could do miyun even 4 or 5 times, meaning the mother or the brothers could marry her off, then she does miyun, then the mother or the brothers marry her off, and she does miyun, and again, the same thing. You could even do it 4 or 5 times, according to Beit Hillel, provided she's not an adult yet. So Amrulam Beit Shammai, so Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, Ain Beno Yisrael Hefker. Beno Yisrael not Hefker, he says, meaning Elama Eninum Tenash Tadil Tmain Vatina say. Let's see the Rashi on this. Ain Beno Yisrael Hefker. Bafilumina Erusin Lo Timain Vitearisla Ter Nazur Timain. In other words, according to Beit Shammai, you're going to mean after Erusin. But even after the Erusin, you don't can't keep doing it. In other words, Beno Yisrael aren't Hefker that they're married to this guy, that guy, the other guy. So, and then, it was like, you hear this person, the other person, so even from the Erusin, so according to Beit Shammai, talking about Erusin, even the Erusin can't be like that. Ella, the first narrow line of Rashi, she does miyun with the first husband, but tamtimi la rose, ashtagil. Then she should delay Erusin until she becomes a gedola. Now, so back in the Mishnah, so, Let's say, look at the Rashi. So the Gemara is going to ask, she already did Miyun, but it means she only gets one shot at Miyun with the Beit Shammai. All right, now let me just see if there's a little something here for you, and then that will be it. That's correct. So wait, that's not what we said. No. Beit Hillel said 4 or 5 times. Yeah. So in other words, that's a din rabbanan. So in other words, a chamim or mitakein that the mother or the brothers can marry her off. Well, the question is, what was the takana? In other words, they didn't want her to be, sort of like, I guess, a situation where like Zenos or something like that. So they were mitakein that the mother or the brother can marry her off, or brothers can marry her off. But according to Beit Hillel, there was no limit on how many times they could do it. It could be 4 or 5 times. And Beit Shammai says, no, it was just a one-shot deal. That's the only thing that they provided for. And Beit Shammai says, it's ain't but it's still hefker, like a Jewish woman shouldn't be going around, doing the whole thing like that.
A Jewish woman can come and give you 4 or 5 times, and that is okay, but not in a young girl.
Yeah, in other words, like the Miyam is like a little... It's like you weren't married. You're married, but you're not married. And right. Even though Beit Shammai says only if the Eirusin, it's like, you know, it's like a horse of a dealer. No. In other words, if I'm divorced, I was married and I'm divorced. Yes. If I'm Mian, it's like I was never married, but, you know, I had this whole experience. All right, now, let's just do a little story and then that will be it. Now, what's we got? Let me see the story here. I don't know. This looks like a thing with a lot of gematria on this one.
It's good.
All right. We'll do a few minutes with the story. We'll hear. We'll see how it goes. Okay. Once Rav Shalom Kaminka Zatzal, Rav Shimon of Yaroslav Zatzal, Zidu Rav Aaron Rokeach of Bel Zatzal for Shabbos. Before Shabbos, Rav Shimon approached the Bel Zarebi. So Rav Shimon is one of the guests. So he approached the Bel Zarebi with a request. Please tell me which place I will sit in at your table during the Shabbos meals. The reason I ask is since Shabbos is like Talitza, it too requires a kfiyus makom for the meal, just as Talitza requires designating a place in which to conduct Talitza before the ceremony begins. So he's saying Shabbos is like Talitza, for reasons we have to clarify. But Shabbos is like Talitza. Just like Talitza, you have to designate the place of the Talitza before you do it. Everybody's means they can't do it. They have Right. So this is like Talitza. So I need to designate a place. I know where I'm sitting. So although the bells are read, we graciously designate a place for Rav Shimon. Some people were puzzled by his statement. What is the connection between Shabbos and Talitza, they asked. Rav Shalom of Kaminka, who was the other guest, noticed this and explained, Rav Shimon is absolutely correct in correlating the two. This is a deeper meaning of the additional petition that we say during benching on Shabbos, Ritzeva HaChalitzenu. HaChalitzenu has the same root as Chalitza. So like we want to say Ritzeva HaChalitzenu, like be pleased with us, but he's learning HaChalitzenu Chalitza. When Shlomo Munkach Zatzal would tell over the story, he would add, it is impressive when you consider the depth of the words of the Tzadikim. The Rizal himself correlates Shabbos and Chalitza based on exactly that phrase from the benching, but we still need to clarify more. What's the deeper connection? Yeah. So Magen Avraham of Trist Zatzal explained the connection. So this is not the famous Magen Avraham. This is a different Magen Avraham. He says, on Shabbos, one's weekday shoes are removed. This represents the limitations of the weekdays, which are exchanged for the higher type of providence, which could be called, in contrast, Shabbos shoes. He says, this is what the Gemara means when it says that Shabbos is likened to the next world. There's a different standard on Shabbos than during the week. So it means, on Shabbos, on the weekday, you have one shoes. Shabbos, you have a different pair of shoes. So it means weekday is more gashmias. Shabbos more ruchnias. So you're removing your shoes to go to a different plane. In Yivamos Kukvav, Chazal bring that after the chalitz, the man who performs the ceremony will be known among Jewish people as Beit Chalutz Hanal, the house of the shoe has been removed. And a student of the Vilna Gaon connects the expression to Shabbos. Beit Chalutz Hanal with the additional kolel number added is equal to the gematria of the word Shabbos. So it's Beit Chalutz Hanal, if you do gematria, equals Shabbos, but you have to add one other number for it. You have to do that in gematria, one other number for it. So he says, Nal also means lock. This signifies that during the 6 weekdays, Anahaga was locked into a certain strict standard. On Shabbos, however, the lock is removed. We are freed of this for the higher Hashanahaga of Shabbos. So what I get is that, in other words, Shabbos, you're moving from a Gashmi to Ruchni level, and it's symbolized by the shoes, the removal of the shoes. And in the same way, you have to say by Chalitza, like she removes the shoe, in some way, it's like more somehow like Ruchni level, like impacting the different worlds. But that's the way I have it with Chalitza. Okay, that's all I have tonight. Let me end the recording. One second. Hold it.